Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is. Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, wait, that's the Three Stooges. I got a little confused there. Fred Zoidberg?
Dr. Zoidberg from Futurama.
Nah, it was Curly for the Three Stooges. You're going to have to trust me.
They might have borrowed you a little here and there. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's Zoidberg.
Yeah, well, you're only about 60 years late as far as borrowing.
1,060 years late, because Futurama's in the year 3,000.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I watched that a couple times. I was like, eh. That was during the time where everybody thought that everything animated was brilliant because of Family Guy and The Simpsons and what else was out there at the time?
Well, Matt
Beavis and Butthead.
Well,
and
Matt Groening, who
South
did,
Park,
who Matt Groening, who did The Simpsons, did Futurama as well, and I really like that show, man. It's really good.
Not every creator hits a homer with everything.
He at least hit a triple.
Yeah.
Trip.
Two errors, a single on a grounder and a throwing error up the right field line, allowing the runner to get to third.
A double with one fielding error. That's what I'll get. That's where I'll stop. The triple with two throwing errors and a single, two throwing errors. No. It's at least a double.
All right.
That show was canceled and brought back like four times.
Was it?
Yeah. It was
Futurama.
Futurama was canceled after like a couple seasons. Then they brought it back on Fox. Then they canceled it again. Then it was like exclusively on Comedy Central, and it got canceled and then brought back again. Its journey through the TV like universe is pretty insane. Also a good show. It'll make you cry, which is really hard for like an animated show to do in 22 minutes.
Futurama's
going to
make you cry.
Yeah, there's some sad episodes about Fry and his dog and his love and his brother and his family. It's emotional
stuff,
man.
Is it still on?
It's not still on, no. It's been off for a while, but man, it's fantastic. I love that show.
All right. I could presume by what you said. All right. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's the 5 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. Talked with Kevin McKenna last hour about, through it all, when there was doubt, with the landscape of men's college basketball now, and in particular the Pac-12, and what we've seen recently, three top five teams go down last week. Duke goes down to a not a very good Wake Forest team last night. We've had 17 cases of an unranked team knocking off a top five team. Last night it was a top 10 team. So as far as where Oregon is right now, hopefully healing up and getting and Enfali Dante back, if not for this game, for the final weekend, which means he could be a contributor, eat up some frontline minutes as they get into the final weekend against the NoCal schools here, and then a conference tournament, then on to the big dance. The bottom line is most, 15 teams could make an exception, but the other 315 who are eligible for March Madness probably would trade places with Oregon. It's just there's been some frustrations, and fans and even some media get so locked into their own little bubble of, well, they don't have this, and they didn't win that game, and they didn't do this well. Well, they don't realize that's happening 50-fold around the country. And as usual, Oregon operates from a slight advantage because of coaching. They've also got senior leadership, and they do a lot well, but like every other team, it appears there's no team without its warts or flaws or struggling moments. So bottom line is, you get to the third to last game of the regular season, you're a game out of first place in the conference, you're the only one of the contenders that has all three games at home. Yeah, you can be in a lot worse shape off of a Sweet 16. And the modus operandi for an Altman team is now they're in the lab experimenting, and they tinker, and usually find adequate answers to at least provide a springboard to a run. 284, and they're in better shape than last year. I think they're a better team than last year, and they wound up winning four games in Vegas, and then two more to get to the Sweet 16 in March Madness. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We've got some NBA news and notes. Combine going on. I think there's eight Ducks taking part in it, eight or seven. And a little bit of hot stove news, your calls. Text us 321-0824 right now.
Seven.
Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in George. George, good afternoon. How's it going?
Things are well, Steve. Thank you. Being a native Oregonian and a pretty huge sports fan, I've followed Peyton Pritchard's career going back to his high school days, and the guy is amazing. But I wonder if you had any information about how Sabrina did in high school.
Yeah, that's a good question. I know she went to Walnut Creek, and
yes,
she was highly touted. She played on some traveling teams. But I honestly have no idea what she accomplished in high school. What was it? Miramonte High?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, she played 4 years, and here's a crazy guess. I bet she was really good.
Yes. Okay, well, I just wanted to know. I'm one of maybe six people on the planet who don't have a computer.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, we'll get on that. All right, so as a freshman, she started half the games, and they were 27-3, and they were a Northern California Division II runner-up. Sophomore, team is 30-2. They made the semifinals. Her senior year, they went to the division title game, and they lost in the championship game to Chaminade. She received national honors, USA Today Girls Basketball Player of the Year, Gatorade State Player of the Year, McDonald's All-American, and I think you could pick it up from there.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of compare her high school career versus Peyton.
Okay. Thanks a lot, George. I think we're going to have to do a GoFundMe.
Wow.
Get George a computer.
Do you think the number is actually six? Six people in the world that don't have a computer? Counting smartphones, because those are pocket computers, so we'll count those as well.
Well, when he says the world, does he mean like the developed United States?
Sure.
I'm going to go there, because we know it's not the world.
Right.
Well, by the way, here's her high school career right here. 119-9. School record, 2,600 points. All-time leader in assists, steals, triple-doubles. No way. She set three single-season scoring records. Single-game record, 43 points and 19 assists in one game. And a consensus top-five prospect. And so apparently she did not sign an early national letter of intent, which we knew, and didn't sign it in the late period in April. And we know that she drove with Dad from Walnut Creek to Eugene, walked in on Coach Knight and was like, so I'm here to play basketball. Coach Knight, Coach Graves. And basically like, could I play with you guys? Let's see. We've recruited the hell out of you. I've been making good strides here. You're the best player in the country. I'm going to go yes. And it's how often is it you could literally say from that moment forward, the rest literally is history. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's weird that Wikipedia page didn't say anything about her junior year. Did she go like work abroad, go backpacking through Europe or something?
Probably did everything she did her sophomore year just over again. So do I really have to type it twice? I don't really want to.
I don't
you have to change
do
a couple.
This.
Yeah, you just don't include the year. I think that'll be okay. Yeah, you just don't have to talk about junior year.
That was interesting that they went into such detail in 3 out of the 4 years. And, she was part of the USA national team. And I remember a couple years ago, that was the 3-on-3. She teamed with Giomi and then teammate Audie Gilden and Ruthie Hebert. And so she was the national player, USA Today Max Prep. And like I said, Jordan Brand All-America, McDonald Game MVP. Open division title game her senior year, triple-double in the championship game, lost to Chaminade the year before that, and there you go. Okay, you all happy now? We took a trip down Sabrina's memory lane, and thank goodness, as opposed to our last caller, I do have a computer. Not only that, I've also have internet access. That's the key to the whole owning a computer.
Well, you could still write Word docs. You could get really good at Solitaire or Excel. I mean, you'd have no one to send your Word doc. Well, you could print out letters to still send them through the mail. You'd have to type them somewhere, but I'm assuming he's
probably sending them snail mail.
Although at that point, if you're going to have a typewriter and you're going to send a letter, you might as well handwrite it, really.
At that point...
Well, I'm trying to think if you're gonna go through the process of typing something up on a typewriter. I'm guessing it's gonna be one of the ones that doesn't have like the whiteout backspace key. If you're gonna make mistakes typing, at least do it while you're handwriting it. I'd rather handwrite a letter than use a typewriter.
I think I might want to. You know, it would be interesting to find somebody from my generation who that was how you communicated. That's how you did your work. When's the last time I typed anything? I'm going to say late 90s. I remember being in my house on Cherry Drive, and the first thing we got before a computer was a word processor. You know, you type it up so it can print it out. And then the store that used to be out on... way out on Coburg, went out of business. I think the whole chain went out. It wasn't...
Shopko?
No. It was a computer store. It wasn't like... Staples came after it. Home Depot. Not Home Depot.
Office Depot?
Office Depot. And
Max.
It wasn't one of those. It was a different one. We got our first computer there. And I'll tell you what. It was like $1,200. You think about that now. You can get like three decent devices that would last you like 5 years each. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go as we bring in Tobiah. Tobiah, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, great, Steve. How you doing?
All right, what's up?
Hey, question. I know I'm a few days late to the party, but the other night in the men's game versus Arizona, I think it was Joshua Green at the end of the game who went up for Arizona to get that rebound and came down and smacked his head on the court. Was
yeah.
Joshua Green, am I right?
Josh yeah. Green, yeah.
So how do they keep him in the game to shoot free throws after hitting his head? I mean, they showed the replay, and it looked like he cracked his head like he, you know, hitting the skull. How do they keep him in? It seems like in any other sport, baseball or football, they immediately pull people for something like that. I don't know. I was a little alarmed.
Yeah, it was weird, and the decision has to be made, I guess, among the team, the doctors, and the officials, because if he can't shoot the foul shots, Oregon gets to pick a guy to shoot the foul shots. So I don't know what the circumstances were. And in the mayhem and the way the game finished, I think if it wasn't for you, most people would have forgotten about it.
Yeah, right. I mean, both my wife and I sat there and just went, holy camoly, after showing that replay. I mean, his head bounced off the hardwood. I mean, both of us thought they were immediately going to come in and put him on a stretcher. I mean, he obviously got his bell rung. I mean, in football, you watch, you know, a helmet to helmet, and the trainers come in immediately. They hold the guy's head still, but, you know, I think that makes, you know, what you're saying makes sense. I think they wanted him to shoot the free throw.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that made sense to me, but good observation. I forgot about that. Thanks for calling, Tobiah. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And if anybody was able to come up with any follow-up information, I mean, I assume we would have heard something if he wasn't okay, but you look at his 0-for-2 and Christian Coloco's 0-for-2, and it's like, that's how Oregon ended up winning that game, or at least it played a pretty critical role, as Arizona missed 11 of 21 free throws. God, is that brutal. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good evening, Steve Tannen. I'm doing fantastic. What is your gut telling you about the Oregon Ducks women's basketball team going into the tournament? And another thing is congratulations to Stephen Curry for being recovered from his broken hand. He gets to play on March 1st. And another thing is I am so heartbroken of Kobe Bryant being in a better place. I'm happy he's in a better place, but I still miss him.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steven. So it's a lot to drink in there. Has that been documented? Is Curry playing on Sunday?
Yes, his first game will be on Sunday. His first game since October 30th. And like you said, he's a basketball player whose career is to play basketball. And so when he is healthy enough to play basketball, he shall play basketball.
Yeah, that is so ridiculous for people talking about, well, shouldn't they shut him down? Well, why? You know, it would be different if it was a back, a neck, or a knee ligament, or a recurring injury. He hurt his hand. It's healed. He can play. He's fine. He's Steph Curry. You don't become him by not wanting to play. That's where his heart is. As far as Oregon going to the tournament, here's what would surprise me as far as the Oregon women. If they didn't make at least the finals of the conference tournament and the final four in the big dance. I'm very comfortable going on record making that statement.
Another dinner?
All things being equal. No, I didn't say I'm betting it. I said I would be surprised.
I know. I was trying to trick you into another
free
dinner.
There seems to be a clear trifecta and separation between South Carolina, Baylor, and Oregon. And I'm not going to be overly dismissive of Stanford and UConn and some of the other teams that are highly ranked. Louisville is a good team. It's a good program. But it just seems like if at full strength, the consensus seems to be that who's going to be the fourth that could join them in the Big Easy that first weekend in April. Maryland is a very good program, good team. I know NC State, and if you're looking for another conference team, UCLA, is pretty good, but it seems to be that after the Gamecocks, the Bears, and the Ducks, there is some slippage. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon. I just got following up on what the caller before was mentioning about the Josh Green that hit his head.
Yeah.
Maybe remember, his teammate was screaming at him, "You got to get up," because he was laying there on the floor, and his teammate was standing on the yelling, "You got to get up, man, you got to get up." And he was like a boxer who just all of a sudden realized he got knocked up, and he popped back up and went to the line. And I can't believe, the Ducks got very lucky in winning that game with the two foul shots at the end of regulation and in overtime. But, yeah, that was crazy that he just – I was sitting – because you could see he was dazed, and he was kind of like shaking his hand too. So I wasn't surprised he missed both foul shots. But, boy, I don't know what would have happened if the Ducks would have picked somebody else to shoot him.
Yeah, it was an odd circumstance, and you can tell he did not take those foul shots with I guess, a clear head 100%.
No.
He was a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
I Googled Josh Green, Arizona. He came back against Oregon State and led the way with 26 points in the win.
So he's okay.
So he obviously just took a little bit of a bump, was probably a little woozy, would probably in a better situation of not taking those foul throws to have actually have been checked on, but well enough to play a couple days later. So I guess he's doing okay-ish.
Well, all righty then. How about one more phone call to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go and bring in Abe. Abe, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Great. What's up?
Yeah, so a few things I wanted to touch base on. First, wanted to get your opinion on how you think Peyton Pritchard stacks up against some of the better players from Oregon in the last two decades. You know, probably I'd say all the – Just back to, like, the Freddie Jones, Luke Ridenour, Luke Jackson era all the way until now, with Dylan Brooks, with Joe Young, and there's probably a few I'm missing. So that's the first point. The next point, I was curious if you had heard any new leads on Mariota possibly getting picked up by a different team, if you knew anything on that. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you was your opinion on – if you had an opinion on who you think Justin Herbert would do the best with getting drafted right off the bat, what's the best situation for him, you think?
All right. Thanks a lot. Man, that seems like an awful lot to drink in at the end of a segment there. Pritchard, first of all, I think you have to. See, I'm not comfortable comparing him with guys like Dylan Brooks, more like Luke Jackson. And those who came here as freshmen grew with the program and spent all 4 years because, A, that's what made him very unique for a Dana Altman player, because one of the big stories since Coach Altman took over the program is they've had to go on the graduate transfer, some transfers. You know, we had Troy Brown with the first one and done. We've had Tyler Dorsey, who, with the way he finished during the Final Four season, ended up leaving after 2 years, was kind of surprising. Did it with Jordan Bell after 3 years. By the way, did Joe Young play 4 full seasons? First, let me double check on that, because he transferred, I think. Yeah, from Houston. Yeah, he played 2 years here. So he played 4 years of college basketball, the last one in 2015 with Oregon, when, I don't know, maybe it kind of gets lost about how great he was his 2 years here, because, you know, you see an NBA player average 19 or 20 points a game, and you're like, yeah, you know, lucky if you're in the top 25, but you're a college player, and you average Like he did 19 points a game his first year for the team that knocked off BYU, then lost to Wisconsin when the Botchers were a number two seed. And then the next year, they won the 8-9 game against Oklahoma State, then lost to Wisconsin again. So kind of unique. I look at Peyton Pritchard as more of a Luke Jackson type, because obviously, even though they played different positions, they were the best, arguably the best player in the state. They decided to become Ducks and play 4 years and end up being, you know, among the greatest ever to play the position. As for where Justin Herbert or Mariota is going to go, you know, there's, and I've said this before, and anybody who tells you otherwise is lying. There's no inside information. Just because somebody does a radio show in Eugene, works for the U of O athletic department, they have no idea where Mariota is going to end up. First of all, we have to have a domino fall. I mean, right. But like I'm saying, there has to be kind of the hierarchy of when free agency begins. Is Brady, in fact, going to stay put? Is Dallas going to sign Dak Prescott? Are Carolina going to bring back Cam Newton? Because until you know where the openings are, all you're doing is trying to pull one out of your rear end as to where he might land up. Have we discussed where could we be selfish and be Mariota fans and say, man, I'd like to see him get a starting opportunity there? Maybe Dallas?
No, I
see,
don't.
I like their line and running game, to me.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with people that were Tennessee fans because of Marcus, and you're going to have to see more Dallas gear, and you're going to be mad seeing Dallas fans around town.
Well, see, but like I said, for selfish reasons, just look at what's best for him and eliminate yourself from the equation.
But that's not being selfish. That's looking at it from...
Well, selfish from his point of view.
Oh, right. Well, Marcus would never be selfish, so right. we can't even do that. He's just happy for this opportunity.
And what was the third question? Oh, the same, where Herbert's going to go. It would be like...
Herbert to the Chargers, I think, is the right answer.
Really?
Yeah. If they keep Melvin Gordon, they've got Austin Eckler, that's a decent running game. The defense should be healthier, which will help. And he got some really good weapons. Hunter Henry is a tight end.
So you think he's still going to end up a top 10, number 6 pick?
Yes. Right. I'm believing the mock drafts that people are doing where he's going no later than 6 to the Chargers. I did see like a graphic mock-up of him in those Miami Dolphins uniforms, which are like the throwback ones from the 70s. I would probably buy one of those jerseys in a heartbeat because they're so pretty. Like, I've kind of been looking for a reason to buy some 70s Dolphins gear or some throwback 70s Dolphins gear, and Herbert landing on the Dolphins is absolutely the justification I need to make that happen.
To make a per... Yeah, but Miami's not a successful franchise. I wouldn't wish that on him at this point.
Well, that's yeah, but Miami is another team that's looking for a quarterback, and I think they're maybe starting to think they would be crazy to take Tua, and Miami would be the next team that would take a quarterback after Joe Burrow goes number one overall. Unless the Washington, the W word, R words, unless they end up taking another quarterback and they just completely give up on Dwayne Haskins. Or Matthew Stafford is actually broken. He could go third to the Lions as well. Some fun stuff's going to happen in this draft.
And we certainly wouldn't wish him on the Lions.
God, no.
That's just rude. Oh, by the way, somebody's correcting us about Josh Green. They played the Beavs first Thursday. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah, he had a great game. And people, I think, are automatically thinking that either of those guys landing on New England would be a great move. Not if they threw him in. Maybe if he could play behind Brady for a year. But I'll tell you what, it depends. If whatever happens at the combine or wherever, and it's determined that he's mid to late first round, then maybe he wouldn't be expected to be the savior year one, and they could take him where they already have an aging quarterback.
Well, the quarterbacks work out at the combine tomorrow, which probably means late on Thursday, early morning on Friday, a whole lot of information about these rookie quarterbacks and who they've talked to and who's had meetings with who and who they're targeting in free agency. All of that is going to start to come out Friday and Saturday would be my guess.
All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break. We'll be back with an update and more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Ingram with Danny Green on him. Five to shoot. Ingram shakes Green left and they poke it away. Anthony Davis has got it. Here comes Green. Bounce fast, LeBron. Look out! Slam dunk! Lakers 112. Pelicans 104.
My Pellies! Came up a little bit light. A little bit. A little bit. A little bit light. Good ball game. Interesting team. Just talking about Nollins yesterday. And you wonder what would happen if they had the big fella all season long. After, Portland got beat, I was checking that out a little bit. It was a good ball game heading into fourth quarter. New Orleans was down just two. Eventually lost by nine. Only scored 23 fourth quarter points. Good defense by L.A. in the fourth. Held them to just 4 of 19 shooting. Pellies kept alive from the stripe. Made 13 of their 23 points in the quarter from the line. And they come out, and after a J.J. Redick three-shot foul all converted, it was a one-point game. Then after L.A. expanded a bit, you had a real nice possession. Josh Hart inside to Zion. Boom! Four-point game. And then LeBron was like, yeah, this ain't going to happen. He kind of took things into his own hands. A sweet dish to Danny Green for a short J. A couple of strong moves. One for a dunk. One for a driving layup to the bucket. It was a 10-point game. Just under 3 minutes left when the Pelicans went cold at a most inopportunity time. And then a Danny Green three was huge. Pretty much salted it away. And now you got L.A. at 44-12. New Orleans drops to 25-33. Lakers are up five in the race for the one seed in the West on Denver. Clippers, who have split their last 10, are 6.5 out. Houston's just a game behind them. And in the battle to gain home court edge in at least one round, you got Utah is one behind. You got OKC is in there. So 3.5 games separate the three seed through the seven seed in the West. And right now, the ESPN doubleheader, Rockets host the Grizzlies, followed by Celtics at Jazz. And the Blazers with the loss last night are now one loss away from hitting their worst point in the season. They're currently 7 below .500. Twice in January, they dropped to 8 games below. And now they're on the road for 4 of 5. They're 3 behind Memphis for the final playoff spot. And, you know, since the Grizzlies beat the Blazers, they've lost 3 in a row. And they've got this tough game at Houston, where they're already down 30-17 late in the first period. So, and we mentioned earlier, the guys who do a midday show up on Portland put out a poll that they were serious about. Who would you rather have right now, Yusuf Nurkic or Jason Tatum? 22%. So I guess that's 1 out of 5 people are just blinded homers who listen to that show and would cast about like that. I mean, hey, Nurk seems like a great guy, and he's a good player. He's a very good big, but nobody would call him an elite NBA talent as opposed to Tatum, who's becoming all of that and then some. And, of course, we do know the Trailblazers have gone in recent last week and a half or so without Damian Lillard, who went on the trip, but apparently he's probably going to miss the first two games and maybe make his return after they play Indy, Atlanta, and then Orlando. So I guess that's how all of that spills out association-wise. Elsewhere, you know, I guess that's about it. It seems like the two best games are actually the national ESPN games. So good for us. If you want to go home, flip on the tube. As for college, what's on the telly looks like a penguin.
Tannenism.
The slippery slope of this college season. Last night, I mean, Duke losing to Wake Forest is kind of a wow. I mean, we talked earlier about how many unranked teams, 17, have knocked off a top five team. I mean, last Saturday, three top five teams lost, but one was Baylor, the top ranked team, to Kansas, who was three, now one, and then BYU, ranked 23rd, knocked off then number two Gonzaga, but the San Diego State loss came to an unranked team. They were fourth. UNLV was outside the top 25, and then you had Wake Forest hosting Duke last night in Winston-Salem, beat them in double overtime, and man, you want to talk about getting it done despite. I mean, their best player, their top gun is Brandon Childress. He missed his first 10 shots. And then, with 15 seconds left in regulation, he ties the game with a three. And, you know, there's bad losses, and then there's that. Before last night, Wake Forest, the Demon Deeks, had just 11 wins. They were only 4-12 in the ACC. And then in the overtimes, it was a double OT game. Childress came on, made six of his last 10. And so, as you might expect, what happened after the game? Kids stormed the court, carry Childress around on their shoulders. And tell you what, it's been a bit of a rough go for the Dukies. Last week, they played an unranked North Carolina State team at PNC Arena in Raleigh, and they got their babas handed to them by 22 points. Then last night, to a team that was a game out of last place in the ACC. And now, the Dukies head for Virginia Saturday. And since dropping a tough one at the Yum Center, Cavs have won four straight. Three nail-biters, by the way. A point against Notre Dame, two at the Dean Dome against Carolina, and their last game at Pitt by three. But as far as bracketology, UVA is a 10 seed, according to Lenardi and Jerry Palm. So that's kind of where we stand as far as the college scene heading into a more limited slate this evening, where you've got, oh, Villanova has already beaten Rutgers in the Big Ten. Keep them 11-4 in the Big East. The Big Ten Network has Maryland very much in the hunt for big things at 22-5, 12-4, number nine team in the country. They're playing the Gophers at Williams Arena, and Penn State is taking it to Rutgers. 6 minutes to go. Nittany Lions, who, by the way, a rarity for that program, they're ranked in football. And they're taking on Rutgers, who is hanging around the at-large picture at 18-10, 9-8, in danger of falling to 18-11 and 500 in the Big Ten. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take our final break of the Wednesday program and return with the home stretch of Sports Talk on 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hello, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing, a tweet of the day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. I discovered yesterday our tweet of the day was the video of the javelina running through the streets of Tucson. I discovered a Twitter account today at Javelina Running where a guy is taking that video and then just puts different songs underneath it. It's called at Javelina Running. It's Javelina Running 2, and there's Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run, Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero. Both of them made me laugh so incredibly hard today. Again, just the same video over and over. So
did you get any new music?
Yes, we got some new songs.
The Born to Run video you posted cracked me the hell up.
It's hilarious. I need a hold. Bonnie Tyler's holding out for I Need a Hero. Running. Oh my God! All of them are so good. So check that out. Oh boy, what do we have? We at KMOV put out a tweet. It's a TV station from St. Louis, put out a facial hairstyle guide and what your facial hair should look like if you're going to wear some sort of respirator to prevent yourself from getting sick from the flu, as people are trying to stay healthy out there. And it's a pretty helpful guide to all of the hairstyles that one can have on their face. And at Katie Nolan pointed out, the toothbrush is what we're calling that. Got it. The toothbrush being the Hitler stash. It's the Hitler mustache. Apparently it's called the toothbrush. Either way, it's not okay. I thought that was pretty funny. We did get a really good tweet of Nick Cody roasting you, but I don't know how to say it in a way where I won't end up losing my job regarding fast food chains. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. So instead, our refreshing tweet of the day is from at Old Takes Exposed, who tweeted a video 8 years ago today. It wasn't a cold take, but it's a celebration that I'm going to play for you now.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is why I did it! That's number five! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am! Damn it right!
That's Pete Weber. He was a professional. He's a professional bowler who needed a strike to win a bowling a match by one over this other guy. And the total peak of it all is him pointing at the other dude and saying, "Who do you think you are? That's right, I am." On top of, I did it, I never thought. I've watched that video probably like 15, 20 times. It's spectacular. Also, Gary Thorne 8 years ago calling bowling on ESPN. It makes absolutely no sense. So thanks to at Old Takes Exposed for the refreshing tweet of the day. Follow the station on Twitter at 953thescore. Find us on Instagram. You'll be able to see Percival, our Green Hill Humane Society pet of the week, at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodger. Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do
JDI.
It.
Now, people see Pete Weber, especially who don't follow bowling, and might not realize who his dad was. Dick Weber was a founder of the PBA.
Wow.
With Don Carter. Going back to the late 50s. And by the time I was of age, and I've told you, Saturday mornings for us used to consist of watching stupid cartoons, going to bowling league, then either baseball or basketball practice. And Weber, who had a really cockeyed, he never straightened his arm kind of delivery. And they, back in the 70s, when the PBA was on ABC with Kurt Schenkel and Nelson Burton Jr.
What?
It was actually pretty big. And
Nelson Burton, is that two first names and
Nelson
two
Burton
last
Jr.,
names?
Whose dad, I think, was one of the original PBA guys, too, Nelson Burton Sr.
Wow. But is the name Nelson Burton, is that two first names and two last names?
Oh, absolutely.
Names? Okay.
Burton Cummings of the, what the hell is the name of his group? The Guess Who, kind of a legendary late 60s, early 70s rock band.
That's an incredible duo in itself. Very rare, the double first, double last name.
Yeah, Dick Weber, his son, Pete Weber, became like the flamboyant answer on the PBA tour, which, as you might imagine, there wasn't a lot of running around and celebrating and high-fiving. It was more, there's a strike. Yeah.
Very golfish.
Yeah, kind of just like that.
Actually, speaking of bowling, have you watched bowling recently on TV? It is an incredible viewing experience for the at-home person. They've got CGI tracking of the ideal route that the ball should take to get a certain pin. And then on top of it, in live time, tracking the amount of break that a ball had. You've got the speed, the widest width, the total break that it has from start to finish. It's really some incredible stuff. Like you can sit there and from behind the lane see how much the ball is breaking. But then to put a number to it, to actually be able to visualize, wow, this broke 6.5 feet at 18 miles an hour, da 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 da. Very cool stuff.
The game has really changed with the way they build and oil the lanes, the balls. It used to be you never heard of a 300 game. I remember, I don't know, my early teens, mid-teens, we were hanging out one Sunday, and this guy, I think his gym name was Jim Stefanich, and he bowled a 300, and we had never seen that. But now it's like almost all too common. But yeah, I believe the term we're looking for is, back in my younger days, we were quite the kegglers. We bowled in high school. We bowled for money. There's a stunning development.
Young Steve and gambling, really. Those went together. Huh.
Yeah, we would, because my buddy's dad used to own the bowling lane in town, T-Bowl Bowling Alley. So we always had they would have leagues for the adults at night, but sometime like the last lane would be open and we'd go like four of us and, throw $2 in a pot and just bowl and the winner would take all. And to us, that could be a Friday night at the age of 15 or something like that. We didn't drink, but we just gambled. Or we'd bowl, and then if it turned out well, then we go find a poker game.
What an incredible justification. Yeah, we didn't drink, but we gambled, and then we'd go play poker with our winnings.
Right. We found we had our degeneracy. It was just within the law. Yeah, somebody texted Marshall Holman. There was Johnny Petraglia. Earl Anthony was a great bowler, a lefty. And then I kind of lost contact with the sport. But there you go. Have yourselves a magnificent Wednesday evening. We'll catch up tomorrow with Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.